What I'm going to do for the next 30 some odd minutes is lead us through two meditation practices. The first being a variation of the mindfulness practice, I think that probably almost all of you do, and then we'll segue to an insight meditation practice. So the type of mindfulness practice I would like us now to do is attributed to the great Tibetan teacher Gampopa, who was one of the most important early figures in the Kagyu tradition of Tibetan Buddhism. And it is said that this type of meditation has the flavor of Mahamudra to it, which is the primary teaching of the Kagyu school on the nature of mind, or indeed of the nature of reality itself. From a Zen point of view, you could say that this practice has the flavor of Shikantaza about it, the objectless and open, non-focal point meditation that is the specialty of the Soto school. So I imagine that all or most of you do or have done a classic mindfulness practice based on paying mindful attention to the breath, going in and going out in a relaxed and gentle way, and returning yourself to the breath when you discover that you have been lost in thought. We're going to do something a little different now. We're going to do part of that. So this particular practice is done like this. Assuming a standard meditation posture that you would have, you would, as you may be already doing, follow the breath going out. You follow the breath going out, you pay mindful attention to it. Your breath dissolves into the space around you, as does your attention. But you do not then make your in-breath another focal point. When the out-breath has gone out and it has dissolved into the space around you, you simply leave a gap. You simply rest in the open space without any concept, without any focal point. You, as the saying goes, boycott the in-breath. You let it happen. You know it's happening, but you don't focus on it. In fact, you are simply resting non-conceptually in the open space. When then your body naturally has another out-breath, you follow that. You follow it out, it dissolves in the space around you, you rest in that open space during the in-breath. That's the practice. So instead of mindfully following the breath going out and mindfully following it in, you follow the breath out. Your attention and the breath dissolve into the space around you. You simply leave a gap and rest in that open space until the next out-breath, and you follow that out. Out-breath, dissolve, rest. Out-breath, dissolve, rest. That's the practice. So let's give that a try for about 10 minutes or so. Thank you very much. I hope you have found that meditation practice interesting, and perhaps in the later section, we'd be interested in hearing some of your reactions to that particular type of practice if you haven't done it before. So, my book, With a Single Breath, The Complete Path of Mindfulness, is based on the proposition that mindfulness is not or doesn't have to be simply a beneficial meditation practice, but can be a complete and transformative path of life. And to my mind, the key to the great transformative power of mindfulness is in the development or cultivation of insight, which is the second part of mindfulness practice following the development of a calm or focused mind. It is insight that truly transforms our lives, our view of society, and that helps us to lessen suffering and find happiness. It is the key to mindfulness as a complete path. And indeed, there are a number of traditional insight practices, often that are found in Buddhism, that are primarily aimed at understanding the true nature of ourselves, our minds, and the world around us. For instance, Rick has contributed a very important piece to my book about how to contemplate the true nature of our thoughts, feelings, and perceptions to realize that they are transient, empty ultimately, and joyful because of that. However, there is a more mysterious and magical insight practice that is really the key to mindfulness as a life-transforming practice. And the real and ultimate secret of mindfulness, I believe, is awareness of our awareness. Our awareness is always operating. After all, it is the way we experience things. It is the creator of our reality. But normally, what we are mindful of is only the objects of our awareness, the things we are experiencing, while our awareness operates unconsciously in the background. This is true for both daily life and often for our practice. We are mindful of what we are experiencing. We are not necessarily aware or mindful of our awareness itself, the experiencer. So we need to wake up to our own awareness. As the experiencer of life, it is the essence of the mind, of the self, and perhaps of reality altogether. By becoming familiar with our own awareness and not simply its objects of experience, you can fully train your mind and experience the true nature of life. The great Zen teacher Dogen called this taking the backward step or shining the light inward. But this is not easy to do because we are addicted to the objects of awareness, the infinite things appearing on our mental screen. It's a bit like watching a movie. Normally, our attention is completely focused on what's happening on the screen in front of us. But now we look at what's happening behind the images. You might find that your awareness is like the screen, the place where your perceptions, thoughts, feelings, and sense of self appear. Or maybe your awareness is like the projector, the creator of the very things it is aware of. So the goal of this practice is to look behind or past the objects of awareness and directly at awareness itself. Then we can investigate its nature by asking ourselves a series of questions about it. So first, let's sit in a good meditation posture and take some time now to try to look directly at your awareness itself. To take that backward step, shine the light inward, or at least try to. The meditation is not to look at the experiences, but at the experiencer, at consciousness itself, not the things you are conscious of. Let go of the objects of awareness and rest in the knower itself. So let's try that for a few minutes, noting that in the meditation practice we just did, we may have had some experience of awareness in the gap we left during the in-breath. So let's take a few minutes now and see if we can connect not to the objects of our experience, but to the awareness itself that is experiencing them. So, having done that for a minute or two, it's a good time to ask yourself if, instead of experiencing awareness itself, are you in fact still stuck on the objects of awareness? Are you looking at your perceptions or thoughts or feelings and calling it awareness? Are you creating a thought or concept of awareness and calling that awareness? Recognizing that this is a difficult thing to do. Now, to the extent that we can separate our awareness from the things we are aware of, including our concepts about the nature of awareness, we can ask ourselves some questions about it. So let's run through some questions now that we could ask ourselves to look at the nature of this awareness, to develop insight into it. And we'll run through some questions now, I could suggest, but at the same time, recognize that now that we have acknowledged that awareness itself is the object of our meditation, that it is something we want to develop insight into, we can ask ourselves any number of questions about it. But here are some suggested ones. So let's ask ourselves, first of all, does my awareness have a shape, a size, or a color? Does it have parts, or is it one thing? That's the easy one. I bet you found that it doesn't have a shape, a size, a color, or parts. But this is a little harder. My awareness have a location? Is it centered in my brain, in my heart, or in my body? Is it localized in me, or is it universal? Or perhaps both, or neither? This is a very important one. Does my awareness have a center and a fringe? And if so, do I experience the center of my awareness as a self? Are there limits to what my awareness can be aware of? Or can it accommodate any experience that arises inside or outside of me? And does my awareness itself change according to what it is aware of? Does awareness have an identity? Is it my awareness? Is it part of me, or am I part of it? Is awareness the observer of its objects or their creator? Was awareness born and can it die? Does it stop and start? Or might it go on forever? And to conclude the exercise, let's ponder this question. What, if anything, can I definitely say about the nature of awareness and my relationship to it? Well, thank you very much for this contemplation. I hope that it has planted in you questions that will haunt you now forever. And maybe now, just since we've left a couple more minutes, I could give you sort of the answer in my tradition of Tibetan Buddhism, that these questions point towards about the nature of mind itself, or in effect, the nature of awareness. And it is said of awareness or of mind itself that it is unborn, unceasing, and all-accommodating. It is unborn because, as perhaps these questions have indicated, it is never born as a thing with any characteristics. It is without shape, identity, size, and it is without any particular characteristics that make it a thing that is born. At the same time, it goes on, it is unceasing. It does not stop and start. It is always there, it is always operating. I think we would say, frankly, as Buddhists, as a Buddhist, I would say, this awareness that we are experiencing right now is actually eternal. We may not be in any way that we define ourselves as having an identity, but the awareness itself, with no identity whatsoever, is not only not never born, it is unceasing. And finally, as we have suggested through these questions, it is all accommodating. There is nothing that can arise inside of us or outside of us that awareness cannot perceive and understand. So, in a way, unlike the Zen tradition, where they'll pose questions but won't tell you the answers, in Tibetan Buddhism, they'll tell you the answer. So, and the answer from particularly the Mahamudra tradition, which I am a student of, is that the answer to these questions ultimately comes down to the fact that this awareness that you and I are experiencing at this very moment is never born, It is unceasing and never stops, and it can accommodate absolutely anything that arises. So that's a contemplation that I think, and this is basically comes from Jon Kabat-Zinn. Again, is a very profound part of the mindfulness, a mainstream mindfulness tradition. As John says, awareness of our awareness is actually the most important of all mindfulness practices. So, thank you very much.
That was lovely, Melvin. How about we just sit quietly with this for another couple minutes? And to be clear, when Melvin says accommodate, he means can make room for. In other words, there's an infinite variety of experiences that can occur in awareness. So let's just be quiet for a couple minutes, and then I'll ring the bell for our break.